You know, when you make a promise to God, you better keep it. And that's why I'm here. I want you to know that I didn't parent perfectly. I didn't parent great every day. I had my ups and my downs. I had my tears, as many of you probably have had. But when I said to God, if I learn anything that I could pass on, I promise at the end of it, I will give back to you. And so here I am. And I hope that what I pass on to you will be of help. I want you to know that what I am saying, I did not do everything that you see up here for my family, because I was a busy mom, as many of you probably are, if not all of you. And so, you know, you have these great intentions, but life is there, isn't it? And there's so much to do just to run a household that you add a holiday in it, and it's like, oh my goodness. So in a closet in my house, I probably, if I put it end to end, I probably have a stack of this many things of ripped out articles and craft ideas, and now I better go through them so I can do it with my grandchildren, because I didn't do it with my own children. That's a lot of these. But we are fast approaching the holidays. And if I were to give you, and I didn't even count it up, but if I gave you the countdown to how many days you have left before Thanksgiving and how many days, oh my goodness, are till Christmas, some of you will be like hooting and hollering, like, this is the best, and the rest of you are going like, oh no. In our family, we start the countdown to Christmas in January. When it goes 11 months to Christmas. And one time I was teaching, and I came into the office, and I said, 11 months till Christmas, and they panicked in the office. I'm like, no, 11 months, come on. So just the mere fact that there were just the countdown. Well, it's morphed into how many months now to Christmas Eve, how many months to Christmas, but we have two children that live overseas, one in the Middle East and one in Israel. So they have a 9-hour and a 7-hour leg up on us. So when we get up in the morning, there is definitely a text message from somebody over there with the countdown. So the other day, I went to bed at like 11:45, and so I counted down like 9 months or whatever it was that month, and 15 minutes, because I was like, they're not beating me this time. It's been many, many months since I got that, and that's an honor in our family. So I thought of that as two camps, like can't wait for it, and I don't ever want to face it again. And I thought, oh, isn't that, you know, the difference between Martha Stewart and Irma Bombeck? And I found this little clip there. You may have read it before, but it's just perfect for this. Hi, Irma. This perfectly delightful note is being sent on paper I made myself to tell you what I have been up to. Since it snowed last night, I got up early and made a sled with old barn wood and a glue gun. I hand-painted it in gold leaf, got out my loom, and made a blanket in peaches and mauves. Then to make the sled complete, I made a white horse to pull it from DNA that I had just sitting around my craft room. By then it was time to start making the placemats and napkins for my 20 breakfast guests. I'm serving the old standard Stewart 12-course breakfast, but I'll let you in on a little secret. I didn't have time to make the tables and chairs this morning. So I just used ones I had on hand. Well, I must run. I need to finish the hand-sewed buttonholes on the dress I'm wearing for breakfast. Love, Martha. Dear Martha, I'm writing this on the back of an old shopping list. Pay no attention to the coffee and jelly stains. I'm 20 minutes late getting my daughter off for school, packing a lunch with one hand on the phone with the dog pound. Seems old Ruff needs bailing out again. Burnt my arm on the curling iron when I was trying to make those cute curly fries. How do you do that? Still can't find the scissors to cut some snowflakes. Tried using an old disposable razor. Trashed the tablecloth. Tried the cranberry thing. Frozen cranberries mushed up, so I defrosted as I defrosted them in the microwave. Oh, and don't use Fruity Pebbles as a substitute in the Rice Krispie snowballs. The recipe, unless you like food, that doesn't look very pleasant. Smoke alarm is going off. Talk to you later. Love, Irma. So later on, you can talk among yourselves. Are you Irma? Are you Martha? Or somewhere in between? There are definitely two camps. But I remember when my children were younger, you know, it's up to you all, you and your husbands, to make Christmas have that special touch. Thanksgiving, too. And like many of you, I think it probably falls squarely on your shoulders, doesn't it? That you tend to be doing a little bit more than your husband to get ready for it. But you know what? My husband has learned, if we watched football on a Sunday afternoon, he's really good at rapping while we watch football. So try to find those things that you can do together to take a little bit off your to-do list. But think about how long the list is. There's stockings, presents, meals, cookies, teacher's gifts, and the list goes on and on. And we had to be careful that our to-do list doesn't rob the joy that we want to present to our children of this holiday. Remember that they are part of it too. And I learned early on that I couldn't do it all. Remember that stack? I didn't do it all because it's still in that closet. But there will be thousands of good ideas out there. But I needed to select what was just perfect for me, my capabilities. You may be able to do more than I can ever imagine. There are just some people that are wired that way. And there may be some here that I will do one thing and I will do that one thing well. And that's fabulous too. So I thought of it, it's a little bit like Goldilocks, like this is too much, this is too little, but I worked to find what was just right for our family. And it took me a little while to get it just like that. So in the process, I kept thinking of the phrase KISS, which stands for keep it simple, stupid, but that would be really rude for me to do that here to you all. So today we're gonna talk about keep it simple, sisters. And there's a handout on your table if you wanna take some notes. You know, back when my kids were little, we either had to buy a book about things to do at Christmas and Thanksgiving, buy a book, and or we had to cut things out of magazines. But you guys can go right onto Pinterest. And you can get really specific, like, I think I would like my Thanksgiving tablecloth to have a, you know, rendition of the Pilgrim Ship, the Mayflower. And I bet you can find that on Pinterest. But, you know, so whatever it is, I've looked at ideas for, like, centerpieces, because that's just not my thing, and that's helped me immensely. So what I'm going to tell you, these are not all original ideas. I did not do each one of these every year. Some of them I did one year and it just, you know, it wasn't a thing that float my kids' boat, so I'm not going to do that one again. So keep that in mind as I say this. Also, what's up here are ideas, and there's probably about 15, 20 up here, and at the end I have going to have all your names in a bowl or something, and I'm just going to put those who have received one of these to take home up here. So check before you leave to see if you get to take one of these things home this year. So the K in KISS stands for keep the main thing the main thing. This is a story that I found out that just, this could have been me. But some years ago, the London Traffic or Transit Authority received numerous complaints that the buses were just going right by the people as they waited on the bus stop. And finally, it ended up in the paper as an op-ed that, like, what is happening, what is happening? And so the Transit Authority had to address it. And this is what it said. It is impossible for us to maintain on schedule if we are always having to stop to pick up passengers. Absurd, right? So that is an example of me that they lost the focus on what the main thing. The passengers were their main thing. And they overlooked that. So we've got to be careful that we don't overlook that ourselves, because part of having the main thing is our children and making sure that they are well cared for, that they're part of the planning, they're part of what we're doing. So as I looked over the responsibilities God has given to moms, to parents, I can't help but think of Deuteronomy 6:4-9. And as I think over, I don't think I've ever spoken and not used this, because it is so important as parents that we keep this in mind. In that passage, God is giving Moses some orders that Moses now is telling the children of Israel. He has been told that he is not going to be going into the promised land. And if you ever had like your last lecture, so to speak, if you're a professor, I don't want to go for the morbid part, you had your last lecture, and you wanted to tell your students things that were important in life, what you've learned from experience, think about how much responsibility Moses had with his last lecture, because he was passing on God's word to the people. He had to get it right, couldn't change it, had to think of it. They'd been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and now they're about to cross over. So Moses tells his people, listen up, I've got some words of God, and I want you to know them. So in other words, he's saying, you need to know God's word too. It's not enough that I'm dying, but I've got these things to tell you. You have got to do it too. And so that was one of the first things. And once they know God's word, then their responsibility is to pass it on to their children. And this is what it says, and you've got this there. Impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you rise up. It could continue, and when you prepare for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and children are running underfoot, you get the picture. Every time is an appropriate good time to proclaim Christ, to tell about the Lord and the things that he's done. Thanksgiving and Christmas give us a great opportunity to do that, but only if we make the time to make sure our children are a part of this holiday too. Because Jesus is the main thing, and in his perspective, our main thing should be introducing our children to his son Jesus. So if you're a fill-in-the-blank person, God wants us to know him and his word so we can pass on what we know to our children. Our main thing as believers should be directing our children to know Jesus. Now, we can't make them know Jesus, but we can certainly put a atmosphere in our home that directs them to the Lord. So in preparing for this talk, I Googled, keep the main thing the main thing. You know, what would the world want to say about it? What did it people? And I was amazed by the number of entries. That is not a new concept, keeping the main thing the main thing. There were sermons about it, you know, just people blogging about it. But the one that really struck me was the one from a life coach. And in it, this is what he said about keeping the main thing the main thing. Create an environment that consistently reminds you of your original purpose and your intended ultimate goal. And that's something I think each one of you should sit down and think, what do I hope to accomplish at Thanksgiving time with my children? Do I want them to direct them to whom we give thanks? Then find something that would help you to do that. So sometimes in parenting, I think because we're just so overwhelmed so often that we don't give some time to think goals and objectives. Now, any of you been school teachers or are currently school teachers? I mean, did you hate objectives when you had to have them? By the time the child is six, he will learn to know X amount of words 80% of the time. And I don't think you have to go to that, but you just think of loosely. I want a calm atmosphere. I want my children to know that they're important to me, and I want to do one thing that directs them to giving thanks to God. It could be that simple for you. So think ahead and think of what your goals will be. They'll all be different. So our home, you know, has an environment, and that's what we would like. I think we would all want calm to a certain extent. That doesn't mean there's sometimes that it's frenzy because you're having so much fun. But you know, you don't want out-of-control mom, which I have been sometimes. You know, like the turkey's in the oven, and then I got to mash the potatoes, and oh, I forgot to put the corn in, and the rolls are burning, you know? So we need to figure out how we can get to be what we want to be. So let's look at Thanksgiving and Christmas through the lens of keeping the main thing the main thing. One thing you could do is memorize, and depending on the age of your children, but I think it's like five verses long, Psalm 100 of giving thanks to the Lord. What a great thing that you could do and memorize that. Starting now, you probably have enough time to memorize some of those lines, if not all of them. tell or read to your children about the first Thanksgiving. You know, it was not this great thing. They were starving before then. And some of the books said that the pilgrims only at a certain time had 5 kernels of corn to eat a day. Try giving that to your child for dinner and putting that on a plate, not Thanksgiving Day. But before then, to help them understand, what if that's all you had to eat for several days? Now, nursing babies, no. But I imagine some of you have some older children too, or you can tuck these ideas into your head. Some people, do any of you do this, that or have been in a place where there's 5 dried kernels at your place setting for Thanksgiving? And you go around the table and each person says, you know, like, I'm giving thanks for this, I'm giving thanks for that, I'm giving thanks for that. You know, then you get to understand what other people are thanking God for. Another thing I think you can do is, I know that the Boy Scouts have a food drive that's at your house, maybe it's at our house coming on Saturday. It's a great opportunity to have your kids. Let's put some food in here so that people that don't have food can eat food. And then there is the thankful tree. That's what this is over here. So just those of you that this is just made with plaster of Paris in a cup and cut out designs of different leaves and talk to your children. Like, what are you thankful for? And write that down. I was thinking this morning how cool it would be for a little one to see their name on the tree. You know, not just my family, but have your little guy, you know, like, I am thankful for you. And, you know, sometimes we forget to tell them that because we're too busy saying, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And we need to affirm them when we can. So that is the thankful tree. And those are some simple ideas there. For Christmas, keeping the main thing the main thing, I love the nativity sets. And I would encourage each of you to have one that your little kids can handle. You may be surprised where they end up at the end of the day, you know, and you know, and people do it different ways. One thing that we did was to not have Jesus in the manger until Christmas morning, but in the trough that we had, we would have like straw set aside that the kids could put a piece of straw every time they did a good deed. Or you caught them doing a good deed. You know, so you're making a comfortable bed for Jesus by your kindness. Now, there were times that I didn't have straw, so I just cut up little pieces of yellow paper, served the same purpose. And then on Christmas morning, they see Jesus in there on their bed of kindness. And then, you know, refer to that. Let them know, like, what a kind bed we made for Jesus this year. Some of you probably do an Advent wreath where you have, we were not real good on that, like anything that was real ordered, that God didn't do that in my mind. So something that, you know, was real, a lot of preparation. But there are books that are great for it to help you with. And one of the ones that I have bought for my children is Unwrapping the Greatest Gift by Ann Voskamp. And the pictures are gorgeous. But this is like Advent. There's a story to read each day. There's different things to do. But it tells the story, kind of like a Jesse tree does, with the history of working the way of Christ through the different generations. Now, there are other things, too, that just focus on Christ. And that's good, too. But this is the whole Bible leading up to Christ. So there's tons of Advent books out there. One thing that we used to do is take the different, you know, like Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, we put some animals around at a place setting and say, what do you think they're thinking now? You know, Jesus isn't born yet, but what do you think Mary's thinking? And what do you think the cow is thinking? You'll get an answer for that. The kids are pretty astute, and some, the older they are, go, cows don't talk. But you think, well, if they could, what do you think the cow would say? And I love that because that uses their imagination. The other thing is have a birthday party for Jesus. Sometimes churches do that. Sometimes neighbors do it. Sometimes friends do it. And put on a little pageant. We had another family that we did it with. We got together the Christmases that we lived here. We moved around a lot, so we didn't have a lot of Christmases in the same place. But we would have a different Mary and a Joseph, and we would act out the story with the kids. I mean, the kids would do it. But and the older they got, the more they knew it, and that was cool. So then we would have the birthday cake for Jesus. Now, if we did it on Christmas Day, it was just a cake. Now it's kind of morphed into Entenmann's crumb cake because we really like it. And we eat that at breakfast. But we always have a candle, and we sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. But in this day and age, when you have so much, now you have symbolism. So you have the devil's food cake, which talks about your sin. And you can do what you want, or you can say that is over the top. But those that get this have the directions of how to have a proper birthday cake for Jesus. That makes me laugh. Another thing that we used to do was we always had a birthday stocking for Jesus to keep the focus. It's his birthday, you know. What would we like to give him? And later on, you're all going to get a little packet, and in it is kind of a little card that we would have our children fill out. This year for Christmas, I am going to give Jesus whatever. You know, and you're going to have to guide them on that because they may not really get that idea, but I'm going to pray for my friend throughout this year. I am going to share a toy that I have this year. As they get older, I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. But those are all gifts that they could give Jesus. Another thing we used to do with the Jesus stocking is, and still do this part, is we like to go shopping at like Samaritan's Purse, where you could buy a cow for a family that needs it in a country that doesn't have food. You could buy chickens. You can buy vaccines. And so as the kids got older, we tried to give them something that that we were giving in their honor to serve Jesus. And that would be a fun thing from the start. You could lay out some things for your kids. Like, this year we have $50 that we're going to give away. Let's look at the things that we could do. We could give a part of a cow, we could give chickens, we could give a goat. And what a cool thing to watch your children kind of figure out what they're going to give Jesus that year. One year, we gave $100 to each of our kids, but it had a caveat with it. And in it, they had to use it. And now again, I'm giving you vision for the future because your kids are a little young for that now. But we said we want you to use it somehow to further the gospel. And the thing is, you know, it's for somebody that's probably not a believer that you would love to see come to Christ. One of our sons took the leader of the Jewish group at James Madison to see the Passion of the Christ. And then they went out for dinner afterwards. My older daughter used some of it to let a German exchange student go to their youth group retreat, where at that retreat she accepted Christ. And so we want to give them a vision of what they can do, you know, and we can't do it all, and Jesus doesn't expect us to do it all, but hopefully we are sending out our kids to do things better than we've done it, more exciting maybe than we've done it, thinking different things than we have done. So some things, the Samaritan's Purse is a good one. International Justice Mission, if you don't know IJM, I encourage you to find out about them. They're doing amazing things all over the world, setting slaves free, sex traffickers getting busted, and they work with the country that they're in, and I love that, with their police, with their lawyers. So we don't just come in and take over. The Jesus film, you know, Campus Crusade has the Jesus film. Those are great, but there's a lot of them that do what your little kids probably would like to do, give chickens and stuff. So that's the K. That is, you know, keep the main thing the main thing. Then we have invest I in family traditions. A word of caution here. For some families, you do things one time and it becomes the tradition. So think carefully, you know. You may have always had baked Alaska as your, when it was just you and your husband, that was something special that you did for dessert. Well, that might be a disaster with kids running underfoot. So I think through what you're going to do before then. One of the things, and this is where I think that it hit me the most, that I needed to do some things with my children that made them a part of the holiday. So what we did every Thanksgiving is they strung Fruit Loops on that licorice, that thin, you know, strings of licorice. You know, I would, in the past when I could find it, that was one of the giveaways because, but it's so hard to find and I didn't think anybody needed 2 pounds of licorice to take home with them. That's as small as I could find it. But when they get older, then they start making designs like 3 blues, 2 yellows, an orange, 3 blues, 2 yellows, an orange. Well, that will keep them busy for a good long time. I loved that one. The other thing that we used to do was make butter from heavy cream. Have you ever done that? Get like a little baby food jar. Give each one of your kids that, and they have to shake it, and they have to shake it, and they have to shake it. And, you know, the glass needs to be cold, and so does the buttermilk. And eventually, a lump appears, and as you keep doing it, butter appears. And so that was just fun. No one liked it, actually. But you know what? It kept the kids busy. And then the other thing that we used to do was, especially if we had company coming, if we were having people come to our house, I would have my children decorate placemats. These I found on Amazon, but you can find them in a party store. And, you know, they don't have to have a design. They could just be a flat color. But how cool that is when your kids make the placemats for the people that were coming to join you for Thanksgiving. Now, Christmas. I do not know how this started. I don't think that I was, but my kids today, if they're home for Christmas, they say, we come down 2 steps apart, age order. So probably because I wanted to get it on video, so I wanted each one to have their own little experience, but evidently that's what I communicated to them. So, and now we're like, age order, you know, it's changed now with in-laws and so on because they don't have that same age order necessarily anymore. So watching a movie together like Elf or It's a Wonderful Life, make that a tradition. Make sure it's a video and it's not the one with commercials. We tried that 1 year with It's a Wonderful Life. It's like 3.5 hours on TV. Too long. Decorate the tree together. These are probably some of the things that you already do together, but decorate the tree. And each year we gave our children an ornament for Christmas that had something to do with that year. Like one time that 2 of them were in a play that had an angel. They were angels. So their little ornaments had angels on them and so on. Because each year we have the kids pick out their own ornaments and put them on the tree. And when our firstborn got married, I had separated all of his ornaments, and I documented like what year. I mean, and this is like hilarious. This is me because that's just not the way my brain works. But I had at least had the forethought to write on the back of each ornament the year it was given. And so when I gave it to his wife, I had it on a little notebook paper. You know, this was given in this year for this reason. And so now they had a good start with their own Christmas ornaments. And we try to do that for our grandchildren now. Simple things like driving around, looking at lights. That's a cool thing to do as a family, and it's just part of life. Maybe you could have a traditional Christmas Eve meal together. Some people order Chinese food, some friends of mine. My mom always made spaghetti, had it simmering all day long, and that kind of signifies Christmas Eve to me. And then one thing we did, And we didn't get these back by Christmas because it even said on the website, you have to send it in before November 16th to have it ready for Christmas. So, but this is from a company called Make It. And these are just different, there's you in the back. These are just different plates that our kids made around Christmas time with what that was special to them. And these became our pizza eating. So whenever we had pizza, this is what we had. So the website is a little hard to figure out, but you guys are a whole lot smarter on the web than I am. I think you can do it. So that was always a fun thing to do. Sometimes if I was really on my game, I would start this in the summer and have neighbor kids come in and do something so that by the time Christmas came around, I had them back and gave them a plate of cookies on something that their child had made. So that's just something to tuck into your mind. And again, this is something to tuck in your mind for the future, but I think it gave our kids the idea that we can help other people. And we did the 12 days of Christmas. Sometimes it was people who husbands were out of a job. And each night between 12 days before Christmas Eve, we would give a surprise visit. The kids would love this. So we'd put something down at their house, ring the doorbell, and run away. And they had something for 12 days. And sometimes it was hard things. There was a family that of my daughters who's were going through a divorce. So we wanted to lighten up her Christmas. And so we did it for them. We've done it for people whose families are deployed. Now, our kids are not here anymore. We do not do it. We do not run fast enough. So that's a thing of the past. But I imagine it's going to be something that they will continue to do. Just like making gingerbread houses. Do any of you do that? Someone said the other day that they baked their gingerbread. How cool was that? No. We used graham crackers. And at first, when they were little, we built them around little milk cartons. Now, my kids, if they're home, and I, you know, honestly, I thought, oh, they're not going to do this. But 2 years ago, they were all home. And they were like, we've got to go out and buy the candy. We've got to, you know, build them. So now they're freestanding, no cardboard inside of it. And then we videotape it and send it to their cousins to judge. You know, so that's part of their fiber now, is these gingerbread houses. So we will keep supplying their candy as long as they keep doing it. So I means if you do something 2 years in a row, it may become a tradition. So think carefully before you start that. Now, I is for invest in traditions and family. No, that's what I just did. Okay, so moving on to this one. S is for simplify the holidays. And that means to make something less complicated and therefore easier to do. So simplify on your worksheet means to do something or make something less complicated and therefore easier to do. Keep repeating to yourself, I do not have to do it all. What your children want most is a happy mom, not a frazzled mom. And sometimes simplifying means doing less than you'd want to do for the sake of having some little peace and harmony going on there. And the way we did this when our kids were little, we did have turkey, even though I think my husband would talk us out of turkey if he could. Not that he doesn't like it, but he knows like the work that goes into a traditional Thanksgiving dinner. But we just simplified. You know, I grew up with succotash and creamed onions and stuffing with oysters in it. I'm telling all the things that I don't like. but that was a tradition that I grew up in. My kids' tradition is, you know, you've got the traditional turkey, mashed potatoes, corn, cranberry sauce, stuffing, and so on. But what is the best part of that for our family is the day after, because we make it into like a shepherd's pie. And they would rather have that than, I think, Thanksgiving dinner. So that's cool. That helps. 2 days in one. Some of you might simplify in thinking in November, but back it up to October. And if you have some decorations, Start in October, because you've got a long fall going on there. And the other thing that I have is, let's see, I don't know where I put that, but you're all going to get this, and it's a blessing mix. And it talks about different things, like candy corn, to remind you of, oh yeah, it's going to be in that packet. Thank you. Candy corn to remind you of the first Thanksgiving. And then it has bugles in it that looks like a cornucopia and what the message would be there. And that would be a great thing for you to make with your kids. Put them in a neat little bag and bring them to your neighbors. They'll hear about what you're thankful for by that little directions in that bag that you're going to get. In Christmas, there's also one for, you know, people are so clever, or people are like, oh, really? You might be in one of those camps. But there is a little poem about M&Ms and how M&M, the M could stand for Mary, the W could stand for wise men. When it's the M is this way, then it's the east, the star that was in the east, and am I doing it right? And the three wise men. But it tells a story. How cool to do that for your neighbors. Give them a bag of red and green M&Ms with a little message. I tried to do that with our neighborhoods because we were always moving. And sometimes it didn't work well. You know, sometimes I had neighbors that would not talk to me. So, that's just life, isn't it? We had them decorate Christmas cookies. I think if you make your own sugar cookies, you are the most amazing person in my life. I'll tell you that right now. You are the hero of my world. I would cut those little tubes. They don't really care about what the shape is looks like. What they want is the sprinkles to eat as they're decorating that. So that's what, you know, how I simplified that one is just by making the cookies easier for myself. Another way we made life easier was we gave our kids at Christmas three gifts. Because one time I realized they could want the world. I could provide a good deal of that world for them, but is that really what I wanted for them? So what we did is we talked about a gold gift, a frankincense gift, and a myrrh gift. The gold was the gift that they wanted, the oopsie daisy doll, you know, or the thing that's the main thing that everybody wants that year. The frankincense, because that was used in incense in worship in the Old Testament, frankincense stood for a spiritual gift. Might give them a DVD or their own devotion book. And then the third one was myrrh. Myrrh was what was used to wrap a body in before burial. So that was a need. And so what need did they have? Did they need a new coat? Did they need this or did they need that? So that simplified my world. Now their stockings, on the other hand, were pretty cool because a couple other things that I might want to get them that were little could fit in the stocking. But I did manage to keep the main thing, just three gifts. And let's go to the last S, and that is savor the memories. You will want some memories of your day. And so one of my favorite verses in the Bible follows after Jesus was born. And the star, the angels, the shepherds, and when people who had not been at the manger when Jesus was born were told about the great news in the Bible, they said that they were all amazed at what had happened. But think about Mary. She was there. The commentary on her was not that she was amazed, but that she absorbed the day. She took in the day. And the Bible says, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And that's the last blank. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. We have a saying in our family that we create Mary moments, M-A-R-Y, and that's when we've taken pictures. This is years ago, and there was no film in the camera, but I got a whole thing of Disneyland, you know. Not one was there. And it's like, Lord, how can I redeem that? I am so bummed. How can I redeem this? And that's when that thought came to my mind. Mary didn't have her iPhone. She didn't have a video camera. So she pondered them. She tucked them into her heart. And I can remember really well some of those Mary moments that I've had that I didn't have a camera and I just had to absorb. And so that's what we need to do sometimes, is absorb, but then what can we do to create those memories? So take pictures. You know, I'm sure you do that already. Although, what we need to do is then develop those pictures, you know, because we've got them on our camera and everything. So years ago, I guess mine's in here, and this is like, I was married in 1983. My first entry in this book is 2012. So this is an idea that somebody shared with me, and I thought, that's so cool. So each year, when we pass this around, it could be kind of on cardboard, and then I'll glue them in there, what we did, who came, and what they are thankful for. You can put pictures in there. This is just a notebook, like one of those composition books covered in paper. I'm sure you can buy them for a whole lot more if you want to, but if you are just wanting to document, that's a cool thing to do. And then just spend time together with memories. And we talked about before, like, what are you thankful for? And some people have like a tablecloth that they use every year, and that who's ever at their table starts writing on their tablecloth what they're thankful for. So every Thanksgiving, that tablecloth comes out. And for Christmas, you could do the same thing. Now this one, I thought, a friend just told me about this. I don't have one, but I ordered it. We have so many people that we know getting married in December. But I thought, what a cool thing to start their marriage with. But this is that same idea. You can put your Christmas card or your family photo, things we want to remember, special gifts we received. This is from, if you're interested, it's from the Mystic Seaport Museum. It's hard to find these. The ones that I looked at online, a lot of the reviews wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And it had, you know, it wasn't as favorable for you to kind of document big things, but it was like fill in the blanks. So I thought that was a very cool gift. Another thing we used to do was, you know, sometimes I'm so busy at Christmas, I don't even get to read the letters that come, and I'm appreciative of everyone that comes, you know, every newsletter, no matter how much of Martha Stewart it may sound. But I'm just appreciative in it. So what we used to do was save the cards, and at night we would take one out. And I'm sure some of you do that. We would take one out, and then we'd read what they wrote. And then some years I did better than others. But we have a lot of friends that are not church-going people that we've met in the Navy. And so I would write to them and said, you know, I want you to know that our family prayed for you last night, and thank you for your Christmas card, and so on. And, you know, that can last depending on how many Christmas cards you get. You don't have to do one a night. Do what works for your family. And then, so bottom line, there's lots to think about, lots to do, lots to prepare, but if you keep it simple, sisters, then perhaps, you know, you will have a less busy and less flustered holiday than you've had in the past, and a lot of that happens by preparation, thinking it through. What works for you, what doesn't, what can value the family, and what, you know, what you can, just what works for you. What works for you may not work for you, and that's okay, because God's created each one of us differently, hasn't he? And some, you know, like, feel like I have no craft ability in my world. That's fine. You can bake me out of the kitchen, probably, and you can organize me out of this, you know, room. So keep in mind, God's given you strength to be the best mom you can be for your children for Thanksgiving and Christmas both. So you're going to have some time now to talk among yourselves about things, about the holidays. And you'll have time to share what you do. And there'll be lots more ideas, I'm sure. So thank you.